Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Open Door, which is presented to you on behalf of Property CEO. Now, my name is Colin Smith, and it's absolutely great to have you with us today. And over the next 30 minutes or so, I'm going to be giving you a little bit of a dive, a little bit of a canter into the world of small scale property development. And as always, we'll be going to be talking about some of the movers and the shakers out there who can give us the inside track on what's happening in the property world. And we'll also be shining the spotlight on any areas we think would be a good opportunity for new developers like you to take a look at. And I'll be giving you a little example of that at the end of this presentation. But above all, we're going to be having a little bit of fun while we're doing it, because life is very definitely far too short not to. And what we're going to be up to in today's show, well, today's show special guest is me. And if you need a little bit of an introduction to who the devil I am, my name is Colin Smith. I'm a planning consultant. I run a little firm called CJS Planning Services. And my specialism is actually permitted development and commercial to residential conversions. Now, I've been doing this for a little while now. My first job in planning was actually in the early 1980s. So I'm extremely old. And I've often been helping other budding developers, basically how to get their permissions. And I like to use the planning law tricks and hacks. And we have a lot of those that we can use to our advantage. Now, over the last few months, there's been very busy on the planning front. Okay, the government have been quite busy. And here's an update on planning for small scale development. Okay, now it's been almost exactly 2 years ago that we had the Nitrate Neutrality Directive from Natural England, which has now affected 76 planning authorities in England and effectively ground to a halt the residential development in these affected areas. Now, the government have a housing target of 300,000 new houses every year. So you can imagine just how badly this nitrate neutrality problem has actually affected us there. Okay. Now, we still don't have a decisive answer on this, even despite being waiting for 2 years. Okay. But planning authorities are rolling out measures in the form of a credit system that developers can purchase. So it's basically a tax, and there's no surprises there. They always seem to tax us in the end, but that is one way around it. Now, there's very important news has just come up. The government have announced that they want wastewater treatment processes. That's basically all your water, water balls and so on. They want their wastewater treatment processes to be updated by 2030. So when you're doing your nitrate assessment, this can be taken into account and should ease the burden somewhat. Okay, so 2030, that is when the government are expecting all your local water companies to update their treatment processes. Let's keep our fingers crossed on that one. There's also been a few big changes as well, adding yet more layers of complexity to, that we need to fight through in the planning system. And you've got to admit that already our planning system is under a huge strain, because basically our councils are just very seriously underfunded. Now, anyone who has tried to make a planning application recently knows that the process is, let's be honest, broken. And we can't avoid this nitrate problem other than build elsewhere. But one layer that needs to be added to the process yet again, okay, and it's been making its way through to us for the last few years, and that is BNG. And that stands for Biodiversity Net Gain, BNG, which is an approach to development and land management that aims to leave the natural environment in a measurably better state than it was beforehand. Now, developers must develop a BNG of 10%. Now, this means that a development will result in a more and better quality of natural habitat than there was before the development. In other words, you need to make it better than it was before you started, okay, by at least 10%. Now, they calculate this biodiversity net gain or loss by using the difference between the pre-development and the post-development habitat data. And it's often presented as a percentage. And like I say, they're looking for at least 10% increase there. Now, and again, if developers cannot achieve all of their required habitats on site, then they can deliver through a mixture of on-site or off-site provisions. And yes, you guessed it, it's yet another tax. And this time they've called it biodiversity credits. Okay, so that's another thing that we've got to go through. But it's not all about bad news, okay? Not all about the government imposing more things that we've got to pay for. Because as you know, with Property CEO, it's all about teaching you how to run a business as a CEO. It just happens to be a property business. And as business entrepreneurs, we like to take the easy route, and that is creating residential houses and flats through the process of permitted development. Now, PD, permitted development, is a light touch, fast track way. It should be a fast track way that avoids a lot of complications of the planning system. Now, there's many advantages to using PD because, for example, there are no S106 obligations, and that is basically a contract between the developer and the council to provide such things like affordable housing or highways improvements and other things that basically will make the planning application more acceptable to the council. Okay, so basically it's a contract, but there's another big advantage here. This biodiversity net gain that I'm talking about, it doesn't apply to permitted development schemes. Okay, now that is a massive advantage to small and medium-sized property developers because it just takes away another layer of potential complexity and delay. Now, another advantage of PD is that the application fees to the council are considerably less than for a normal planning application. Now, if you went through a normal planning application, a full application, then every house or flat that you apply for, every single one, costs £578. And on bigger schemes, that's basically 10 or more units, it actually increases to £624. Okay. So you can imagine if you're putting in a scheme of 10 houses, you're hitting over £6,000 just in planning fees to the council. Okay. Don't say it's not worth it, but it's a lot of money to find when you're a small scale developer. But with permitted development, it actually costs just £120 per unit. Okay. That's considerably less. Okay. That's 20% of what it would cost with a full planning application. Now, you may or may not know that planning fees were actually increased to these new levels last December. And with it, they also took away the right to a free go. Now, what happened with a free go was that if you withdraw an application or if an application was refused and you wanted to reapply to fix it within 12 months, then you could do it free of charge. That was your free go. But now with this new fee increase, they have taken it away. There are no more free goes, unfortunately. Now, if you've made any full planning applications lately, you would have been asked, quite often, rather than just amend your application because of some very minor requirements, something not quite right with your application, but the planning officer has asked you to withdraw it. Okay. You've come across this. Okay. Now, first off, in my opinion, never withdraw because you just simply don't know for sure what was wrong with this scheme in the first place. And you might not be able to fix it the next time round. At least if you don't withdraw it and it was refused, at least you know for sure what the problem was. Okay. But think of this now. Why do you think they want you to withdraw? Well, it could be A, to get the application off of their busy desk. Quite likely, all right? Or it's also a way to get more fees into their system because there is no free go anymore. What do you think? That's sneaky? Well, I personally think that's actually a real possibility there, okay? They're asking you to withdraw knowing that the second application, you've got to pay all over again, all right? Well, something for you to think about. Now, last year, the government promised a whole raft of updates to the permitted development rights. And the big one, in my opinion, was adding hotels to permitted development class MA. All right, you've probably heard of that one before. Permitted development class MA allows you to turn a whole building into residential if it was in a commercial use beforehand. And they were going to add hotels to that. Okay. They were also going to be adding an extra two flats to another permitted development, right? And that is Class G. Currently, with Class G, you can have two flats, and they were talking about increasing that to four flats for every commercial unit. Now, unfortunately, knowing the government, okay, that didn't actually happen, and it may well still go ahead, but I think that the government are pretty busy at the moment with their general election plans, and redrafting these permitted development rules is actually quite complicated. So what did they do instead? Well, they had a bit of an easy life on us. What they actually did was they removed the requirement or the floor limit of 1500 square meters. Okay, on Class MA there was a limit of 1500 square meters of a building that you can convert, and they also removed the 3 month vacancy requirement as well. Now, in my opinion, removing the 1500 square meter limitation was not such a bonus, and you could already convert 32 one bedroom flats with 1500 square meters. All right. Now, when you're a small scale developer, doing 32 one bedroom flats in one go, it's actually, a big enough task for you. Okay. So if you have now an unlimited amount of floor area, how many more flats could you actually handle? Like I say, it becomes tricky enough as it is. So I don't think as a small scale developer, that's actually going to help you very much, to be honest. But removing the 3 month vacancy requirement helps to get the tenant sorted, and also the possibility of getting some rent in while you're going through the process of securing the property and getting all your permissions. So I think that removing the 3 month vacancy requirement is actually a good positive thing. Now, getting started in small scale development is a straightforward process if you follow the Property CEO tried and tested system. Okay. Now, property development is not easy, but it is straightforward. And if you compare it with the current problems of, let's say, buy to let, I mean, most of you developers probably started out using buy to let, okay, as your first strategy. And you find that now you can't offset your commercial mortgage anymore. Okay. And you also have the Section 24 renters reform, where you have all sorts of problems with problematic tenants, let's say. And in comparison with that, buy to let should have been an easy step on that ladder to property development, but actually it's getting harder and harder and harder. But being a small scale developer, to be honest, has now many advantages, not least of which is that you can pay yourself a management fee as your CEO of your own development company. So while you're actually on the tools, as it were, well, you're not actually on the tools because you're CEO, but while you're looking after the project, you can actually be paying yourself, which you can't do if you're doing buy to let. Now, you can also use many tricks and loopholes in permitted development rights, and that will enable you to get ahead of the competitors. Okay. Now, just recently, I had a project to look at, which was a potential Class MA permitted development scheme. Now, Class MA has five conditions to tick, and as long as you thoroughly follow the rules and the guidance, it's usually straightforward to get permission to convert a commercial building to residential. Usually, it's quite straightforward. Okay. Class MA is probably the most popular way to convert a commercial building to residential. Okay. And this project was actually based in London, and it's in an Article 4 area. Now, for those of you that know, Article 4 is where a planning authority can remove certain permitted development rights. And in this case, the right to convert an office to residential was removed. Okay. So basically, the client thought, well, that's the end of that, and we can't really proceed with it. But the thing is this, okay, these Article 4 restrictions remove permitted development Class MA rights. And that is simply because they think that if you remove your Class MA rights, that will stop any permitted development ways of converting that commercial building into residential. They don't actually think that there might be another way. Well, in PD, we have two ways of doing those commercial conversions. The Class MA, which is the more usual popular route, should we call it, but we also have Class G as well. I have not yet seen an Article 4 direction imposed by a local authority removing those commercial to residential rights, and they actually included Class G. They always talk about Class MA, but never Class G. Okay. So councils think that you just basically can't use Class G in that way. Okay. They just think that Class G is all about changing a shop with uppers to flats. That's the usual way that we use it. Shops with tops, as they call it. Okay. But Class G actually has a lot of loopholes in it. Why? Because it hasn't been very tightly drafted. Okay. They've used certain phrases and phraseology that could have been a lot better. And also, there's been several court cases where it's been emphasized that we ought to read the legislation for what it actually says and not what we think it says. That's very, very important. So when you look at the legislation of what it actually says, we can see that Class G has a lot of loopholes in it. Okay, so we've got these Article 4 directions, which are trying to stop commercial to residential conversions, but in actual fact, they've left out the thing that basically you can use permitted development Class G in that situation. Okay, now here's the thing. For every commercial unit in building use Class E, remember that's the commercial use class that we're looking for, Class E, you can have two flats. So for every building use Class E, you can have two flats. But here's the thing, you don't need to have permission to subdivide a commercial unit. Now, when you subdivide a house and you're creating flats, you need planning permission. Yeah, you know that. But when you've got a commercial unit, you do not require planning permission to subdivide it. So if you've got one shop, effectively, you've got as many shops as you like, two shops, four shops, as long as it's big enough, of course. Okay. So when we look at an office block, which has several stories to it. Now you can use Class G and you can convert that office block into residential, but you do it floor by floor. Okay, you start at the top and you work your way down floor by floor. Now, if you do it right, you can even convert most of the ground floor as well. Now, permitted development is very, very powerful, especially if you know how to daisy chain your rights together. And that Class G hack there was just one way of daisy chaining something together. The council think they've stopped you because you can't use Class MA, but they've forgotten all about what you can do with Class G. And there's nearly always a solution to get to where you need to be. Now, there's lots more tricks and hacks that we can share. And I'd like to increase your project value, okay, at no extra cost. And also, you can extend commercial buildings. One of the biggest questions that I get is that my project doesn't stack, okay? I can't make the figures work simply because the vendor's expectation is too high and your building costs and the procurement costs and everything else are too high and it doesn't work out. But there are lots of tricks that you can actually do to actually increase the value of your project without no extra cost actually involved, simply by using a few tricks and hacks, as I call it, with permitted development, okay? And you can also increase the sizes of some commercial buildings, not all of them, but some of them. You can increase the size by extending them. And again, you can do those extensions under permitted development. And if you daisy chain your permitted development rights together, you can then take those extensions and you can then convert them using PD to residential. Very powerful stuff if you know how to do that. But I'm going to leave all the details about that for another time. Now, we're coming towards the end of this presentation now. Now, if you'd like to know more about planning and the hacks and tricks that will get you permission, then CEO runs a planning secrets workshop twice a year. And I believe that there's be a link in the description below. And if you'd like to know more about Property CEO, there is a free half-day workshop called the Six-Figure Roadmap. All you need to do is email us at support@propertyceo.co.uk. So that's a free half-day workshop, Six-Figure Roadmap. Email us at support@propertyceo.co.uk. All right. Or again, look, go in the links below in the old description. Well, that's all for me for now from this edition of Open Door. I do hope you found it useful, and I'll see you again another time. Bye for now.